Welcome to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Talking business ownership, the nuts and bolts, and everything in between.
G'day and welcome to the Tradies Business Show. My name's Warwick Wazza Bidwell. Love the way people here in Australia just shorten everybody's names. I'm working with some clients in Sweden at the moment as their business wingman, and a lot of our humour here in Australia is lost on people from overseas, so I'm finding I have to think carefully about some of the slang terms that I'm apt to using, but yeah, they don't refer to me as Woz. Anyway, welcome to the show. Got a great interview for you today. My first one back after taking a bit of a break from the podcast. So hopefully you've strapped yourself back in, downloaded the last couple of episodes, and we're back on the horse and running. Today's interview is with a woman who has been inspired to get Australia's tradies healthier. I have a chat with Pip Selden from the Healthy Tradie Project, and Pip's doing some fantastic work getting tradies eating better, moving better, and practicing a bit of mindfulness, and hopefully improving their quality of life and perhaps even the length of time they're able to stay in the industry and maximize their return from their work. So we have a great chat to Pip. Pip shares a bit of personal part of her personal journey. Gets a little close to the bone in the midst of the interview, but loving the work that Pip is doing, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy this interview as well. There's some great tips in here that you can put into place in your own life. So enjoy the interview, and as always, if you've got feedback, go and hit me on Facebook at Tradies Business Show. If you haven't liked the page already, make sure you do that. And leave me a review on iTunes on the show if you're liking having me back. Go give me 5 stars. It's always good to help other people find the show. And have a listen to my chat with Pip Selden from the Healthy Tradie Project. And joining me today on the Tradies Business Show is Pip Selden from the Healthy Tradie Project, which I think we could all get a bit more of that in our lives. But welcome to the show, Pip.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Now, I really dislike reading people's bios and introducing people. And I've had some MCs do a really bad job of introducing me as a keynote speaker over the years. So I prefer to let my guests do it themselves because they can probably do it better than anybody else. Can you tell my listeners, I guess, a bit about yourself, but also, you know, maybe how we've ended up to be chatting today and perhaps what you're truly passionate about? What's your purpose, Pip?
Okay, I actually wear a few hats. From a in a professional sense, I'm a construction project manager. I'm a health and nutrition coach, a yoga instructor. I'm a doTERRA wellness advocate, a speaker, and the founder and creator of the Healthy Tradie Project. So, life's generally pretty busy, but it all evolves around tradies and in some way health and well-being. So I grew up in a family who have all in some way been connected with construction. My my dad was in the lift industry and then security, and my two brothers were both tradesmen, one a carpenter and the other an electrician. And it was really probably after doing my own renovations and building a few new homes that I thought, yeah, I don't mind this. This is pretty good. That I then joined or sort of dipped my toe into the world of commercial construction. And in 2009, I joined a builder in Canberra as an administrator. And I really haven't looked back since then. I have just grown within the industry and stepped up to PM and now actually in an operations management role. So, but my journey on the health and wellbeing side really came about after the loss of my eldest brother to suicide. And that set me on a path of obviously health and well-being and the effect and the impact that our health and well-being has and what we eat and how we move and sleep and all these things and our lifestyle behaviors and how they really influence our mental health, our physical and our emotional well-being. Mm. So that experience is what led me to create the Healthy Tradie Project, and obviously having that connection with the construction industry through my brothers, through my father, and then also myself was a reason why I naturally gravitated towards supporting tradies within the construction industry. Cool. And then I guess where we first met was the opportunity to actually share that lived experience of suicide, that story, that journey that we'd been on with Mates in Construction and their lived experience panel of speakers. Mm.
And I've heard you speak as part of the conference that we actually went to around the time we both attended that lived experience training, which I think you had done before, hadn't you, Pip?
I hadn't actually done the speakers training. I actually went into that conference and spoke at that conference and then did the speakers training afterwards.
Well, I was pretty impressed, and I must say I was sitting there watching and listening to you share your story and talk about your brother, and perhaps serendipitously or not, today is as we're recording this episode is actually his birthday. So I really do appreciate you coming on the show and speaking with me on a day like today. It must be tough for you. I mean, do you still find that you're processing some of the events of the preceding years, Pip?
Yeah, look, I think you never really forget. It's always something that is a part of your life. It's something that, you know, suicide was never, ever on my radar. I saw this guy who I thought was enjoying life, but there was a facade, there was a mask that I didn't allow myself to see through that. And I think you, over time, I've allowed myself to, I guess, feel what I needed to feel, and whether that be pain or grief or any emotions that I needed to, I've allowed myself to go through that process. But days like today, I try and, I guess, celebrate the great times that we had together, he and I, or together as a family, and just acknowledge, I guess, the time that we did have. Mm. But it's always, it's always something that's there. It's always going to be a part of my story, my life. Every birthday is different now. Every Christmas is different. Every family get-together is different. And unfortunately, there's always going to be that void. You can't change that now.
Yeah.
And that is tough. And I think as a family, we all feel that. That probably will never go away.
No.
But it's so important to just keep that communication open and keep talking about him and what we're feeling and what we're going through at the time to make sure that we keep talking about it. We keep his memory alive.
Yeah. And I love what you say about celebrating the life that was, to paraphrase.
Yeah.
And I heard a great analogy or model recently explained to me about grief as, we seem to think that whatever it is, whether it's loss of a job or more catastrophically the loss of a loved one, that people seem to have this idea that we can deal with our grief and get rid of it and we get over it and it doesn't come back. But the reality is probably more like the yolk of an egg, where it stays there and it perhaps shrinks to a certain size, and and then we cover it with the rest of our life and our life experiences. But the grief is always there, and there's certain times or situations where it does perhaps come back to the surface and it gets uncovered again. And I think accepting that that's the case, and that we are going to revisit some of those feelings in a good way, or maybe in a more challenging way throughout our lives, I think a bit of acceptance around that can make it much easier to deal with it.
Yeah. It will always be a part of my life, and there will always be things that, you know, even a song on the radio, there will be things that come up that bring back those memories. Mm. And that's, you know, that's all a part of that whole journey moving forward. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So Pip, you mentioned that the loss of your brother was a big part of you, I guess, moving in this direction of, what's culminated in the Healthy Tradie Project. But how did that come about? Can you just give us a bit more of an insight into the progression of that idea and how it came to fruition?
Yeah, look, it was 2011 that I came up with a bit of a crazy idea of hopping on my bike and cycling from Canberra to Brisbane to generate awareness about suicide prevention.
This is a push bike we're talking about, right?
This is a push bike. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy.
I after his death, I put myself through some training, which was the ASSIST course, so Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training. Mm-hmm. And that was a real, almost kicking the guts. You know, I learnt all of these things that we had missed, that as his family, his mates, you know, all of these things that he hid so well, but there were, there was all of these contributing factors that were evident in his life that isolated you. Anyone would probably think that, oh yeah, that's, you know, just part of life.
Yep.
But collectively, for some people that is, you know, it might be all too hard to overcome. And it was when I actually was probably awakened to some of these signs and some of these, these triggers, that I thought, you know what, we need to make more people aware of this, because, you know, had I been aware of it prior, then maybe, you know, maybe it might have been a different end result. But so I set out with a good friend of mine, and we cycled from Canberra to Brisbane. We took 17 days all up. We had, I think it was 13 riding days and 4 rest days.
Wow.
And with the support of Lifeline, and we, it was really about, it was, yes, it was about raising money for Lifeline, for their training, for their call center operators. But it was also about just starting that conversation and encouraging people to talk about this topic that back then, and maybe because I wasn't, you know, really, I hadn't, you know, had an suicide as part of my life, I didn't hear about it. It wasn't something that you saw reported or on the news, or the, you know, this conversation wasn't happening. So for me, it was about starting that conversation. Okay, how can we get people talking about this? You know, I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to encourage others to do the same. So we set out on that trip, and it was probably after that I'd generally been healthy and fit, but then it was after that it kind of kicked into a new level, and I then took all this newfound fitness and went and raced some Ironmans and triathlons and all those sorts of things. But I then really began to delve more into the effect that nutrition has on our mental health, our emotional health, you know, how the food we eat plays a role in how we feel, you know, in how we move, how we think, our energy levels. And I actually started yoga, and that was actually to aid in some lower back pain that I was getting on the bike. So I kind of started introducing these other modalities, and I'd walk out of a yoga class and just feel amazing, and not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. I just feel this whole lightness of being, and I feel so at ease. And so I went off and did teacher training and health and nutrition coaching, and now I'm really about bringing those tools to tradies, because I think we have, you know, we have a lot of support in place for when guys reach crisis point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I should say just guys. There's female tradies as well, but we've got a lot of support at crisis point. But I want to step back and say, okay, what can we do up front? You know, what tools can we give tradies so that they've got them every day of the week in their toolbox, and they can use those tools so they don't hit crisis point?
Yeah.
We can get guys eating better. We can get them being more mindful of what they're doing. You know, they're living in this present moment, as opposed to all these thoughts and feelings and worries and all of these other things going on in their life. We can actually try and implement some healthy lifestyle behaviors so that they recognize when they start to get off track.
Yeah.
And they know how to bring that back. So,
'cause it's a big problem with, well, my opinion and my personal perspective is there's a lot of programs in all areas of our lives that seem to be remedial and not enough in terms of real prevention, which, you know, often comes from education. Well, I think education is the key to all prevention, to be honest, whether it's, you know, the obesity epidemic that we're facing, or the road toll, or, you know, even suicide, which we've talked about a bit today. And we look at the construction industry and site safety, and as a project manager, I suspect that's a big part of your life as well. Is planning for, yeah, site safety and inductions, and they're all preventative measures. And we've seen some fantastic improvements in workplace related incidents. And you know, if we reference that whole issue of suicide, particularly in the construction space, I can't remember the stats, Pip, and you might be able to help me out here, but I think construction workers are like six times more likely to die by suicide than a workplace incident.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Every second day, a construction worker in Australia takes his own life.
Yeah, For me, and one of the reasons I was so keen to talk to you on the show, and why I'm fascinated with the work that you're doing, is I'm also personally quite passionate about, I guess, people taking responsibility for their nutrition, their health, their state of mind, their spiritual state, and not sort of leaving it to the point where they need to take remedial action or corrective action. Because I know personally, I've done a lot with nutrition and health in the last 5 to 10 years, and according to my GP, when I turned 30, I should have been having a heart attack by the time I was 40. I'm 44, and I've gotten past that point, but I'm fitter and stronger and healthier now, and I get quite a lot of blood tests and all sorts of testing done on a regular basis, because I'd like to track what's going on with my body. And I'm fitter and healthier now at 44 than I was at 30. And 90% of that has been through nutrition for me, and also functional movement and those sorts of things. But, yeah, it just seems to be something that I think people are more offended to talk about food and nutrition these days than they are about, I don't know, being gay or a Christian or something.
Yeah, and, there's so much out there. And it's, you know, you should do it this way or do it that way. And I can understand how people just get so confused and so caught up in, well, what am I supposed to be doing? They say I should be eating this, and then that person says I should be eating this, you know. But the biggest thing that I say to tradies is it doesn't have to be hard. And one of the very first things they can start doing is to eat as nature intended. Eat more living food and less stuff that comes with a label. More of the stuff that you go to the farmer's market and buy, and less of the stuff that you're getting out of the supermarket, that's in a packet, a jar or a tin. So it's just, you know, you can go right back to basics, and that in itself will make a massive difference in people's energy levels, in their clarity of thought. You know, when people aren't on this roller coaster of sugar highs and lows all day long, and they've got this sustained energy throughout the day, then of course they're going to be better focused at what they're doing. They're going to be thinking about the tasks that they're doing at the time. So, you know, it's when we get those highs and lows that we have the potential for accidents to happen on site.
Yeah.
Because our concentration is not where it should be. So, you know, all of those things are connected, and that's, you know,
so
that's
true.
That's super important for the industry.
So, Pip, talk, if you will, a little more about that connection between, I guess, you know, yoga and perhaps that spectrum of activities, nutrition, and mental health, and I suppose, you know, I don't want to make today all about the suicide conversation, but it's almost like the ultimate symptom of those factors being out of balance. I don't know if you would agree with that statement or not, but can you talk a bit more about how those things are all tied together?
Yeah. I mean, we focus on three core pillars, I guess you could say, and one is movement, the other is mindfulness, and the third is nutrition. And yes, we wrap up some other lifestyle behaviors amongst that, like, you know, sleep and some time in the sun and time for play. But in general, we look at those three areas. And, you know, the nutrition, as I said, it doesn't have to be hard. It's some really basic, you can start by just taking some basic simple steps. And I really just try and encourage guys to stay away from those processed sugary foods. You know, that's what affects our energy levels and our concentration. I mean, there's a whole host of other, obviously, issues in the body. But staying away from that and trying to just bring our energy levels back to, you know, a balanced energy throughout the day. And that's where, you know, fats are great and the whole debate about fats. But, you know, good quality saturated, monounsaturated fats, you know, eating nuts and seeds and avocados and, you know, grass-fed, you know, meats and all of those things and fish, wild-caught fish, just encouraging that consumption of food and vegetables is a great way to just try and bring back people onto this, I guess, this even keel, and they've just got this steady form of energy. The movement side of things with regard to yoga, I mean, particularly tradies, you watch most tradies turn up to site in the morning and they'll get out of their car with, you know, maybe a coffee in one hand, or it might be some form of sugary drink and
the good old iced coffee drink.
Yeah. And the first thing they do when they get out of their truck is probably cut, you know, maybe a 20, 30 kilo toolbox out of the back to take it up on site. Now, typically, they're using the same muscles every day. They're doing the same form of movement. And we're finding through the yoga classes is that, you know, they're generally tight through the upper body, the shoulders, the back, the hips also very tight. So what we're really doing is just actually encouraging guys to move, to stretch, to open their bodies up in a different way than what they would typically do every day of the week through their work.
Yeah. And
that,
sorry, Pip, I was just going to say that scenario of getting out of the ute, you know, they've probably driven half an hour or perhaps more. They haven't stretched, they haven't warmed up, and yeah, they roll out of the ute and straight into what is often heavy work. I mean, if I did that at my CrossFit gym, the coach would smack me around the head or send me away. It's like, go and warm up and stretch before you start picking up heavy weights, because you're going to do damage to your body.
Exactly right. And you're doing that, you know, day in, day out. It doesn't help the body at all. So just really then encouraging movement in a different way, you know, just allowing the body to stretch. But I guess the beauty with yoga, and this is where we link into the mindfulness as well, is we begin to create a form of meditation in motion. And when we bring guys into a yoga class and they are focused 100% on what they're doing in that moment at that point in time, they're actually in a meditative state. Even though they're moving and even though they're going through that yoga practice, they're not thinking about what they've got to do for the rest of the day or what's happened this morning, or, you know, it's all about bringing them back into the present. And that then links into that whole mindfulness approach of actually coming back to present moment living and not being caught up in those thoughts and those worries and the feelings of what has or hasn't happened yet, but actually just living in this moment, you know, right here, right now.
So without getting into, I guess, heavy science or anything, Pip, why is that so important? I mean, we see so much stuff about how we should be meditating, we should be taking time out, we should be living mindfully, but why is that so important?
I think quite simply is that by being present, I mean, A, we're more productive. We're more focused on, you know, as much as we think we can probably multitask, we can't, because the moment we take our mind and spread it between different things, we're taking our focus and our attention off one. And if we are allowing ourselves to be distracted with, you know, what have I got to do this afternoon, or I've got to go and pick the kids up, or I've got to do this, or whatever, we're actually not focused on what we're doing in this task. Mm. And I mean, on the construction site, that can have a huge effect on safety. You know, if you've got a guy, you know, operating a machine whose mind is elsewhere thinking about something else,
yeah.
What about the people around him, not only himself, but the people around him on that construction site? So bringing back just that attention to this moment, you know, right here, right now, is really just encouraging guys to focus just on the here, the now. That's all it is. And it's as simple, and I mean, simple techniques of just coming back to the present moment, coming back to back to breath, is a super easy way to relieve stress, anxiety, and mindfulness. You know, it doesn't have to be sitting on a cushion, you know, meditating in the corner of the room. It can be as simple as just stopping, taking 3 deep breaths, you know, just tapping into your body. You know, what's going on? What emotions am I feeling? You know, so often we might be triggered by an event, or we've got, you know, there's something that's happened out on site. It's triggered an emotion. So all of a sudden I'm going to react to that emotion. Whereas if we are mindful, yeah, something might have happened on site. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to allow myself just to be with that emotion. I'm going to feel that. What is that emotion? Okay, now I'm going to respond. And instead of reacting with the emotion behind you, you're actually responding in a more mindful and a more appropriate way.
Yeah. And it carries over into, well, our whole lives. You know, as parents as well, it's such a powerful coping strategy sometimes, I guess, as a parent, but being able to just pause and take a breath and respond rather than react, it just creates so much less stress and angst for those around us as well. And it just fascinates me that with all of the talk about this stuff and you know, we have this fantastic thing called the World Wide Web where we've, you know, and smartphones. Like I was reading an article recently that basically said, you know, most of humanity has all of mankind's knowledge in their pocket, because we have access to everything via Google and the internet. And yet, you know, 200 or 300 years ago, philosophers kind of thought that when we all had that level of knowledge, that we'd all be this wonderful, peace-loving society and there'd be equality and all that sort of stuff. There seems to be way less of that than we had before we had all this knowledge. So it's like we've got the knowledge, but we're just not applying it.
Yeah, exactly right.
And, you know, that mindfulness and nutrition and everything seems to be very much the same. It's like we've got access to all this information, and yet I don't know. People just seem to – is it that they don't want to change? I mean, what's your experience with tradies? Obviously, the people you're working with are open to change, but what do you think is needed to get more of us to make those changes and actually you know, take control of what we're doing to ourselves and our families.
It's such a, I mean, it's such a tough culture to change. And I think, yes, the construction industry is a male-dominated industry, and I think probably that, you know, that old school macho culture is still around, and it's probably, you know, we're starting to break down some of those walls, but it's still very much there. And, you know, this is something completely new to the construction industry. I mean, during Mental Health Week last year, I opened the minds of hundreds of tradies across Sydney and Canberra construction sites. And we did, with mindfulness and yoga, you know, we went out onto construction sites and we did 35, 40 minutes of mindfulness and yoga with guys in amongst, you know, whether we were out in the dirt, whether it didn't matter, you know, we
all in their high-vis and hard hats.
And it was incredible and just so inspiring to see these guys get involved and participate in it, because and why I believe it was such a success then was because they felt those benefits immediately. You know, they there were comments, the feedback that came back was, you know, we're really under the pump here on this site. You know, this has just given me a chance just to stop and take a breath and, you know, almost recharge to go again. So, I mean, it's unfortunately, you know, not everyone is going to get that, and not everyone is going to understand that. But I think the more we chip away at it and the more we realize that health and safety is not, you know, we have such a huge focus on safety on construction sites. You know, it's all about the paperwork and ticking the box and making sure everyone's covered. But we need to shift that focus to include health first and foremost, because if, you know, it doesn't matter what piece of paper a guy signed at the end of the day, if he's not healthy, if he's not thinking about what he's doing because his mind is elsewhere or it's distracted, you know, or he's just had an energy drink and he's coming down off his sugar high and he's just not even thinking, you know, that accident is still going to happen. So, you know, it's, look, I've had nothing but support from the industry to date, and that's fantastic. Like, I'm so happy that they are beginning to see that this is a real, you know, this is a real issue, and we need to actually use these tools so that we, as I said before, we don't hit that crisis point. But it's, you know, it might not be for everyone, and I appreciate that, and I'm accepting of that. But, you know, the feedback I'm getting from guys who do our yoga classes every week is, you know, I'm seeing the progression. I'm seeing how much easier they're moving. I'm getting the feedback from their employers about how their moods have changed. You know, these guys are looking forward to it. They're coming to work. They just have a whole different way of being around the workplace. You know, that sort of feedback is gold, and it's great to know that, you know, what we're doing is having a difference. And if that's having a difference, you know, on a handful of lives or thousands of lives, you know, it'll slowly progress.
Well, I think it is for everyone, Pip. I have to disagree with you there. and I think too often the royal we write some of these things off through our own fear of change, or perhaps, you know, fear of being ridiculed as being a bit of a lone nut. and that probably means more to you and I, having seen the training video. But it's scary to be different to everybody else. And I think it's a crock that people say, oh, that's just not for me, or I'm just not cut out for that, or you know, I'm okay. I think we've got to stop bullshitting ourselves and accept that we do need to change. You know, there's way too many people suffering the effects of poor diet, poor movement, you know, poor mental health. And I think the more people who drop that facade, as you mentioned earlier, and actually started being a little more honest with themselves first and foremost, I think a lot of these problems would be diminished quite rapidly. So anyway, there's my little soapbox piece.
I think, I mean, about that facade too, I think it's important that we all take the time though to actually allow ourselves to be with people. And you know, we're always so busy, and the construction industry is probably one of the worst for it. Is
oh, totally.
You know, we're all so busy doing all the time that we don't often take the time to have meaningful conversations, or you know, just be with people and have that conversation. And you know, we can't always necessarily rely on the person who might be going through an issue to speak up. Whilst yes, we continually encourage that, we can't always rely on them to do so. So being aware and actually being, you know, aware and being able to allow yourself to kind of look past that facade and see what's going on with the person behind, I think that's, you know, that's something really, really important.
Definitely. So Pip, what's your dream? What's your dream? I guess I don't always like to talk about outcomes, but you know, you sound like someone who does this out of passion and purpose. You know, you've got a lot going on, but you know, with the Healthy Tradie Project, and I guess your work with Mates in Construction, like, what would be the ideal future vision for you?
I would love to see construction industry workers. I mean, it would make me, it would put the most hugest smile on my face to see construction industry workers doing, you know, moments of mindfulness and yoga at the start of their day. I mean, you know, that would just be incredible. And one of my, I guess, ambitions and something that I'm working really hard on at the moment is to be able to bring this to apprentices, because I think it's so important that we educate that next generation and they understand the effects of all these other things and what they're having on their life. So we're working really hard at the moment to be able to bring our program to apprentices and to be able to do that around Australia. So we're actually embedding this into, you know, almost into their curriculum as they're going through their apprenticeship. And it then just, it filters throughout the rest of the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the old story, isn't it? Get them when they're young. Unfortunately, the people who seem to be best at that is the fast food companies and, you know, the junk food companies are getting our kids and educating them perhaps incorrectly when they're young. Yeah. But I'm with you on that one, Pip. I'd love to see, you know, apprentices learning about just simple business principles as well as everything that you're working on. So, because a lot of them are going out into business and then taking, you know, a lack of knowledge in that area and perhaps some misconceptions and some poor health practices. And, you know, I'm picking these people up as a business wingman in their 30s and 40s where they're burned out, stressed out, and really doing it tough. So, and, you know, if we loop back to that suicide conversation, it's a very overrepresented age group as well, is that sort of, you know, late 30s, early 40s in terms of the male suicide statistics. So people – yeah, you're up.
Sorry, I just wanted to add to that just quickly. You know, I had a probably in his mid-50s construction worker who worked for a precast company say to me after we'd done a yoga session at his workplace – and he said to me, you know, wow, that really made me realize, you know, just how tight I am, how tight my body is and that I need to do more of this. And funny you say, you know, you picking these guys up at, you know, this 30s, 40s, you know, burnt out and stressed. He said, you know, I love what I do. And here was a guy in his 50s and he said, you know, I love it. I absolutely love it. I want to be able to do this for as long as I possibly can. So I think that's that real key, is if we can get guys thinking about their health and well-being, well, then they can, they've got that longevity.
Yeah.
And they can continue in their business if that's what they choose to do, not have to move away from it because their body can't keep up.
Yeah. And certainly, my personal experience, my dad was a builder. Most of my uncles were all construction workers and trade workers. Hence my connection to the trades. But by the time my dad was my age, sort of mid-40s, he was just about stuffed. You know, he He had back pain. He had some other health complaints coming in, and you know, he's still with us. He's 74 this year, and you know, he's on oxygen 18 hours a day for some lung disease. They can't figure out what's going on. He's had heart surgery. He's on, you know, pretty high level pain medication prescription, and just from working himself into the ground and not taking care of himself properly.
Yeah.
And I can't convince him to stop eating, you know, bread and ice cream and stuff. So he doesn't listen to the show because he doesn't know what podcasts are or smartphones. But if he did, Dad, stop eating crap. Anyway, so what I wanted to ask you, Pip, was you know, if someone's listened to this and thought, I've been hearing about this stuff, maybe it is time to do something. What's some good first steps for people? Rather than sort of try and eat the whole elephant in one bite, what are some good first steps?
One of the first things I actually ask people or invite people to do is to make just one change, even if it's over the course of a week. So, you know, first up, can you start your day with a glass of warm water and the juice of half a lemon? Can you make that your ritual? Warm lemon water, add in some apple cider vinegar. Can you make that your ritual first thing in the morning when you get out of bed?
Mm.
And once you start implementing those habits, then, okay, let's add something else in. And I never want it to be about restriction,
yeah,
because I don't think that will last. And I think the more we add in the good stuff, the you know, you won't want that bad stuff because you'll start to feel better. So, you know, just swapping out one maybe unhealthy choice for a healthier option. Can you, you know, include some more veggies on your plate at dinner? Can you make dinner just a, you know, a simple meal of, you know, a piece of chicken, you know, grilled chicken and some veggies and, you know, a piece, some avocado, you know, to get your healthy fats. Just making small, I guess, sustainable, and those changes will then be sustainable. You know, exercise, just actually waking up in the morning and taking some stretches that just move your body in a different way to how you generally would at work.
Mm.
Can you get out and can you walk more? Can you, you know, go for a 20-minute walk in the afternoon? Could you, you know, standing there cleaning your teeth, can you do some squats? You know, you don't need to be, you know, it doesn't always have to be about going to the gym. I mean, gym is great and I love it. But if that's not in your life just at the moment, you know, there's so much that you can do at home. Do some of those functional full body movements, the squats, the push-ups, the pull-ups, the planks.
Mm.
You know, they're going to work the whole, you know, the whole body and all those big muscles. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a gym. You can do it, you know, you can do all of that at home. And a really simple tool with the mindfulness is what we call a spot meditation, and it goes by the acronym of STOP. So S stands for stop what you're doing. T, take 3 deep breaths. O, observe how your body feels. So feel those sensations or those emotions, you know, whatever's going on in your body. And then P, proceed with compassion, first and foremost for yourself and then for those in that situation around you. And you can do that at any time. You know, that's 30 seconds that you can do at any time during the day. And it's just that awareness of coming back to your breath and coming back to your own body.
Mm. I feel calmer already, Pip. I was listening to you talk about your STOP acronym, which is awesome. And I actually found myself taking 3 doing deep breaths.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And, I've made those changes myself in my life a bunch of years ago and cured a whole lot of chronic health complaints, sort of lower level stuff, but still things that could have ended up becoming a lot more serious later in life. So definitely on board with everything you've talked about there, Pip.
I think the other super important thing is just play. You've got to make time to play. And I'm a terrible one for this because I get so caught up in what I have to get done, but making time just to disconnect and unwind, get off technology, you know, just let go of the routine and, you know, think of what you used to love doing as a kid. and go out and find a way to do that again. And that really has such a huge impact on stress as well, and relieving stress. So we've all got an inner kid in us and inner child. So we've got to peel back the layers and uncover them.
I love jumping on the swings at the park with my 5.5-year-old daughter. And the other adults look at me like I'm weird, but anyway.
No.
I think, gotta let that inner child free. So, Pip, yeah. if listeners would like to find out more about you and certainly the Healthy Tradie Project, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, look, my website is thehealthytradieproject.com, or on the social media side of things, Facebook and Instagram at The Healthy Tradie Project.
Awesome stuff. Well, look, I'll say it again, huge thanks to you speaking to me today. Very special day. Very, very much value your time today. And I guess, it's perhaps been a good way to celebrate today as well, is talk about it in a positive light and get this message out to more tradies everywhere.
Absolutely, I agree. I couldn't agree more that it's a fitting day to be talking about it. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Thanks. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Pip, and look forward to doing some more downward facing dog stretches sometime soon.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.